It's now or never, your last chance to enjoy a small city, big summer event in historic downtown Whiting. And they're all shook up about this one. Join them for another Whiting Cruise Night on Wednesday, August 19th from 5 to 9 p.m. along 119th Street for an evening full of fun, music, and, of course, classic cars. So classic that this cruise night will feature Elvis's very own lost car, owned by the King of Rock and Roll himself till 1991. Elvis's mysterious custom Cadillac will be on display at the corner of Oliver and 119th to see. It ain't nothing but a good time for the entire family to enjoy. For more information, visit discoverwhiting.com.
Between the shores of the Chicago skyline and the sights of Michigan, there's a small city celebrating a big summer. The city of Whiting invites you to join in on the fun. Our star-studded summer is packed with famous characters, superstar mascots, classic cars, and musical favorites. There is something for everyone. Whiting Lakefront Park is the perfect backdrop for your memories, and 119th Street eateries and shops will add to your family fun all summer. Visit discoverwhiting.com for more details about the small city and big summer that await you in Whiting, Indiana.
Your free trial.
Bears fans, trust all of our shows and team of Bears experts to get you ready for the start of the season, along with Bears reports live from the practice field, breaking Bears news, and in-depth conversation with players and coaches. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago, WJMK HD2 Chicago, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios. The Score! Scoreboard update.
From the Score Update Studio, I'm Julie DeCaro. Day two of joint practice between the Bears and Colts is underway in Indianapolis. The final dual workout ahead of Saturday night's preseason game. Alshon Jeffrey not practicing again today. He won't play in Saturday night's game either, which is not the way Jay Cutler would prefer it.
I mean, I would like to work with Alshon and Kevin, but it is what it is. So we're shipping some guys in there. Some guys are getting some work with the ones, and some of the threes are getting work with the twos. So it's a good thing we're seeing everybody right now.
Bears running back Daniel Thomas and offensive lineman Jason Weaver also held out of practice today. Elsewhere around the NFL, a jury has found the director of security for the Baltimore Ravens not guilty of charges that he groped a stadium worker after a game. Panthers receiver Kelvin Benjamin is out for the season with a torn ACL. And former Bears quarterback Eric Kramer was injured by a self-inflicted gunshot wound in an apparent suicide attempt in California yesterday. Kramer's former wife says he's been battling depression for several years. Kramer's injuries are not life-threatening. To baseball, Cubs will look to get on track tonight after losing three straight and being swept by the Tigers at home. Jake Arrieta will head to the mound tonight for the North Siders. He's got a 4-1 record with a 1.56 ERA in the second half of the season. He'll face Mike Fultonovich tonight at 7:05. Cubs still three games up on the Giants for the second NL wildcard spot. Cubs started offering playoff tickets to season ticket holders today. Meanwhile, the White Sox will look to avoid the sweep in Anaheim. Jose Quintana will face off with Nick Tropiano tonight at 8:30. USA Today's Bob Nightingale joined Spiegel and Goff this morning, and he said he can see club president Kenny Williams taking interest in potential GM jobs in both Seattle and Toronto. The Scoreboard Update is brought to you by Mancari Chrysler Jeep Dodge in Oak Lawn. Join the Score at Gurney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for your chance to win a spot in the 2015 Golden Ticket Finale and the opportunity to win a $20,000 Vivid Seats gift card. I'm Julie DeCaro, and you're listening to Chicago's number one sports radio station, 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Regulators, mount up. We'll call you.
Matt Miller.
He's everywhere you want to be. Don't leave home without him.
NFL and NFL draft lead analyst for Bleacher Report.
I like this kind of body.
Breaking down the NCAA and the NFL.
The average football fan doesn't get to see a lot of these college players. I see it as my responsibility to kind of sell NFL fan bases on this player.
Matt Miller.
It's time to go eat, baby.
Matt Miller with Boers and Bernstein on 670 The Score.
At 202, Boers and Bernstein, Chicago Sports Radio, 670, The Score.
One of the great things about football season that we get the opportunity to speak to the lead NFL draft columnist and one of the top NFL analysts for Bleacher Report as part of our weekly coverage of the Bears and the NFL. So if you are new to the Boers and Bernstein show, get used to this on Thursdays at 2 o'clock. He's on Twitter, at NFL Draft Scout, and he is on the Grossinger Lincolnwood Hotline. Find over 4,000 vehicles at grossingerdeals.com. He is Matt Miller. Hello, Matt. Happy football season.
Happy football season. It's good to hear your voices again, guys.
Well,
nobody's ever said that to us.
No, I don't think it's got to be a lie.
Even ex-loved ones.
Yes, but you see, you were top of mind when you look at the Bears' sidelines, and two of your guys, Alshon Jeffrey and Kevin White, one injury much less severe than the other, both standing there. Neither one is practicing. So it's tough to be you because those are your dudes, and Bears fans are feeling the pain.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting it on Twitter, too, because people are like, what's the deal with your guy? And it's like, well, I mean, it's not my fault that he's hurt right now. But,
yes, it is.
I think, you guys know my deal is with draft prospects, you have to teach patience and preach patience to the fan base, which is tough, especially with, you know, such a highly touted prospect like Kevin White, where you're thinking, okay, we trade Brandon Marshall. We've got this younger, faster, better behaved in the locker room version that we're going to draft in the top 10. And you want to see him out there. But I'm sure that Ryan Pace and John Fox know what they're doing as far as how quickly they're bringing him along. And hopefully the thing with Alshon is, you know, it's just a preventative thing. They're going to keep him out for a little bit and get him back there soon. But, yeah, it's tough when you know, I've been seeing videos and pictures of training camp, and you see 13 and 17 standing there in sweatpants. It hurts a little bit. But once they get on the field together, I'm still confident it's going to be a fun thing to watch.
I just wonder, you know, I mean, it just hurts too, Matt, because that's your first pick. As you're the new general manager, here comes your first pick, and it's that. And we don't know. I mean, I guess you can come back from that injury, come back from a lot of things in today's medicine. But, I mean, it just hurts on so many levels because we're struggling, the two of us, to find something with the Bears worth watching, and that was one thing right at the top of the list.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting to me is, and it's probably a market size thing, but like in Chicago, Kevin White is hurt, and it's like, oh, crap, you know, he's going to be a bust. Mm-hmm. Dante Fowler blows his knee out before training camp even starts in Jacksonville, and people are just like, oh, man, I can't wait to watch him next year. You know, so it's kind of funny to me from like a national perspective how injuries are looked at differently. And it is tough because you, like we were talking about, you have all this hope in the passing game, and here's Adam Gase as your coordinator, and you have these targets. But I think you can still be excited about Matt Forte. I think you'd still be excited about Kyle Long. I think he's one of the best guards in the game, and we'll see how quickly Jonas Grasu can get on the field. But, you know, there's a lot of rotating, changing pieces this year. So I think it's kind of a transition year. I know people are tired of hearing that in Chicago, but I think that, you know, you guys know I was on your show when I said it. I wasn't real excited about Ryan Pace, but I'm a believer in what he's done since that day. And I think that this is – John Fox has a strong history of turning teams around, and sure, getting Peyton Manning probably helped with that in Denver. But I think he's the guy to get things back on track.
And it looks like Eddie Goldman is going to be on the second team as long as Jeremiah Ratliff is in front of him. It surprises me a little bit that Ratliff, while he's not the prototypical zero technique there in the middle of the 30 front, he's still at this point a better player. But man, Eddie Goldman just is, he looks more of what you want of a guy holding that nose.
Sure. And Jeremiah Ratliff, even when he was back in Dallas playing that zero technique, like, he's one of those guys that maybe doesn't always look the part, but my goodness, he's impressive. And you know, I think when I did the NFL 1000 stuff, he was like a top 10 defensive tackle last year just because of his run-stuffing ability. Last year, you know, he was a great pass rusher as well. So I think he brings a lot of different things to the table. And with Vic Fangio, you know, studying him so much when he was in San Francisco, he kind of liked those smaller, faster defensive tackles. You know, Glenn Dorsey, who, you know, was a three technique at LSU, and it goes to Kansas City and they don't know how to use him. Fangio plugs him in as a nose tackle and he's a star. So I think that Ratliff is a little undersized and a little tall for what we normally see as a zero technique, but his combination of power and speed and that pass rush potential that he brings is going to give them a nice wrinkle up front, especially since we don't really know where the pressure is going to come from at the linebacker position outside of Pernell McPhee.
The other big story this week is that fifth-round draft pick Adrian Amos has, for the moment, won himself a job as a starting safety. Now, with the Bears, that doesn't really mean anything because their starting safeties are often awful. But we didn't talk a lot about Amos, and the Bears seemed high enough on him to spend some resources to bring him here. So what do you like? What do you don't like?
Well, I had him as a third-round prospect, so I liked him a little bit more. He's versatile. He played some corner at Penn State, played some safety. He's super fast. You know, this is a legitimate 4.4 kid, and to do that at 6 foot tall and 218 pounds, so you know he has range. He can hit. I think he's going to be a fun matchup because he can play man coverage against tight ends because of that background at corner, and I think he can be a playmaker too with that speed and the instincts that he's shown. So I liked Brock Vereen when he was coming out of Minnesota, but I like Adrian Amos a lot better as a true free safety. So I think he could potentially, you know, it's You're talking about a fifth-round pick. Those guys aren't even always guaranteed to make the team. But from what I saw in college, he's a guy who could be a starter in the NFL.
The other guy I want to go back with a little bit, because back to the day when Shane McClellan was drafted, because when you look at guys talking about him now, I mean, I don't want to say they're defending him, Matt. That's not exactly the word I'm looking for, but they certainly believe in him, I guess is the word. They believe that he's going to be exactly the guy he was always supposed to be. He's in the right position, he's smart, and he's doing well at this position, and now you're going to see why he was drafted where he was.
I hope so, but I think we've heard that before. You know, it was, he's defensive end, this is where he's supposed to be, or outside linebacker in a 3-4, this is where he's supposed to be. So it's like, we've heard that song and dance before, and it never ends well. So I hope so, because I hope so for him, because I know he's a good kid and a hard worker, and I hope so for the Bears fan base, because, again, you spent a first-round pick on a guy, you need him to become a, if not a blue-chip starter, a consistent starter. And they have not got that from him in the last 2-3 years. So I hope he turns it on. His skill set that I saw at Boise State, sure, he could play inside linebacker, you know, because he was quick enough to drop back in coverage, and he had a good nose for the ball. But it just seems like he's running out of chances here. And, you know, Mason Foster's there, John Bostic's there, you know, Christian Jones is a young, super athletic player. So I hope it works out, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets squeezed out of that job once these games start to matter a little bit.
Let's look outside the Bears at a couple names that we spent a lot of time talking about last year. And just now that you've got more tape, now that you've got these practices and some exhibition games, these top two picks, the quarterbacks, what do you see from Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota?
Well, it's funny because with Winston, I think we saw more mistakes, especially in the first preseason game, but I'm okay with that. And, you know, the hype out of Tennessee was that Mariota hadn't thrown a pick in, like, right, 8 days of practice. Mm-hmm. That is such a joke. Like, whoever is saying that doesn't understand football, because you want your rookie quarterback throwing a pick a day. You want him to make mistakes, because training camp practices are when you learn what you can and can't do. So Mariota sitting back there playing, you know, dink and dunk catch is not good for his development. You need him to take some chances. And I was glad to see early in the preseason game that he kind of got his tail kicked in a little bit, because now he can learn from that. And you want him to learn those lessons in the preseason, not in the regular season. So I still think Winston is pretty far ahead of him at this point. I was a little concerned by his mechanics at times in that first game. I thought when you're a quarterback, you really want to bring your feet with you when you pass. And I thought that he went dead too often in his legs. But, you know, they're both very bright young players. Everything I've heard is, you know, they're not having any issues with the playbook, not having any issues with the mental side of the game. It's just getting caught up to the speed and now building some chemistry with their receivers, which, you know, in my opinion, is one of the most important things that they need to do early on.
Well, there's no doubt that the Buccaneers love him. There's no question. It hasn't been the question since before the draft, during the draft, after the draft, that Lovie, who is not really Mr. Offense, as you know, Matt, not exactly a guy that cherishes offensive players, I mean, loves him. And I guess in that position, you sort of have to, right? You better. You took up number one in the draft. You better all show him love of some kind.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's funny because you draft a rookie quarterback and he's your savior. You know, Lovie gets more time now in Tampa because you can blame it on the rookie. You know, we were bringing him along. But at some point, that script flips and it's like, man, that rookie screwed us. You know, that was the wrong pick. I didn't pick this guy. So if they don't work out, they you can kind of throw him under the bus and start over. But they have to love him. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think this time of year we get into the quotes too much of like, oh, Lovie Smith loves Jameis Winston. But yeah, like you said, out of all the players eligible for the draft, you took him. You better love him. You better like him more than you did back in April. And it was funny because early during like OTAs, I would have Titans scouts text me like, you know, Mariota's going to be a steal. We're so excited. And it's like, you know, maybe your defense just isn't very good, guys. You know, let's wait and see what he does against, the Houston Texans before we start crowning him as anything. So it's this time of year, I think we're all excited and we all want to dig in and start, you know, breaking football down. But still got to be kind of patient.
It is amazing, Matt, how far we've come that I remember a time when even a first-round pick, even that big commitment, a first-round pick quarterback was still kept at arm's length by the team. Was still sort of, okay, Rook, okay, hot shot, okay, bonus baby, let's see what you got here. And it was there was a very careful lead up to that first training camp or to see how he could do. And now, like you say, they have to go out of their way to make these guys feel good. Is this just another example of millennials being treated like millennials in this case, making sure that their self-esteem is intact? Or is this a reflection of